Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Chateau, Joe Portelli and I hanging out together, bonding. And today's show, not only being brought to you by our wonderful friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, but also today, our Thursday sponsor, and we love him, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. Okay there, Kevin, you hanging in there?
I'm great.
You tell everybody over Cracker Barrel tonight I said hi, all right? All your buddies there.
I'll tell you what, it feels today like draft day, and my phone's been ringing off the hook trying to figure out who I'm going to trade it to.
Oh. Well, I'm sure you feel like trading a lot of things right now. Let's just skip ahead. Let's go to the Eagles pick. I want to find out, you're a diehard Eagles fan. I want to know from you what direction they need to go in. Because I look at this team. They picked up Peters to be an offensive tackle for them. I think it was a great pickup by Philadelphia. But I also see needs at linebacker and at safety. And I think the guy that would be perfect for the Philadelphia Eagles would be Mark Barron, the safety out of Alabama. Big, rangy, plays the ball well, breaks in the ball well, but he can hit. He can be the Brian Dawkins of the next decade that the Eagles have been lacking the last couple of years.
I had the safety in there, and I took it out because I think they're going to be able to pick him. I think they'll be able to pick up a safety a little bit later on. And what I put in was Courtney Upshaw at linebacker, just by the way things place.
Courtney Upshaw. Let's take you through Courtney Upshaw. Courtney Upshaw is a guy who played their 3-4. There were moments that they would put him in a three-point stance and send him off the edge. Moments they put him in a three-point stance, then drop him as if they're playing a zone blitz, even though he's a natural linebacker. And moments where they used him as a stand-up and he could rush as a stand-up or as a linebacker could then drop into coverage. He plays coverage very well. I like when he's one-on-one with a running back because he has the quickness to close. Also, he's very good against the run. He's a guy that, when you look at Alabama, they could have as many as five players taken in the first round of this draft. Five guys could be picked. Trent Richardson, I think, could go at 4 to the Cleveland Browns. And I don't care what they're saying about Richardson. I've watched this guy in person. You are talking about a guy that can run between the tackles, has the speed to get to the edge, and has hands. Richardson will be a 1,200-yard rusher in the NFL next season if he's healthy, and he brings a lot to the table that Cleveland needs. And I think the Browns are going to go with running back, wide receiver, quarterback in their with three picks in the first 37. Barron is one of those five guys, Dre Kirkpatrick, Dante Hightower, Courtney Upshaw, Barron, Richardson. Those are the five Alabama guys that could be in the first round. Upshaw would be a great pick for the Eagles and put him outside on the edge. I also think, though, that if Barron's available, Barron ends up being a great choice, but he gives them the Brian Dawkins that they've been missing.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is a lot of people think Barron might be going in 11 to Kansas, or I'm sorry, yeah, 11 to Kansas City, or maybe even as high as 10 to Buffalo.
There are many that have him as the eighth-rated player of the entire draft. Thus, he may not be available when Philadelphia picks. Thus, the Upshaw pick, because Upshaw could very well be available when the Eagles pick at 15.
Now, the question I have is, if you have your depth chart, who do you have higher at the linebacker position. Is it going to be Upshaw and then Hightower?
Between the two Alabama guys?
Yeah, between the two of them.
Between the two Alabama guys, right. I have Dante Hightower higher on the board than I do Courtney Upshaw. Hightower is a 260-pound linebacking tank. You put him inside, but also put him, because of his size, and a three-point stance at times, Saban did. And you can do some things with him. Now,
but one of the questions, and we'll get back to Steve here in just a minute, one of the questions that a lot of folks were asking about Hightower is the fact that he may have a little bit of an issue with covering because just of his natural size. And Steve, you may have alluded to that, but again, some folks, some of the scouting reports you've been I've been reading said that maybe size would be an issue in his mobility. And you would have to make him, you would definitely have to make him an inside guy and a run stopper.
Right. Well, he has to be an inside guy. He cannot be an outside linebacker in the NFL. He can't be. I mean, he just does not have that ability to do exactly what you're talking about. I mean, that's why C.J. Mosley was brought in third down situations at times by Nick Saban because they were concerned about Hightower in coverage. Yeah, I would grade him out as a C-plus in coverage, but at this level, you have to be a B-plus or an A-minus in coverage. I mean, that's what you have to be with and more. You have to be. Upshaw's better in coverage. Hightower's better against the run. If you're thinking inside linebacker, you have to take Hightower, but if you're thinking outside, it's got to be Upshaw.
You know, what I've seen in a lot of draft boards and a lot of mock drafts for the Eagles especially, I don't think I've seen an entire offensive player selected by any of the so-called experts as pick 15 for the Eagles.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't think you go in the first round with an offensive player. I mean, for Philadelphia. Now, will you get other offensive players down the road? Yes. Right? Yes, you will do that. You'll get them down the road as offensive players, okay? But not in the first round. I think in the first round, they're going to need to go defense. And I think getting Peters, for example, when they got him, I think that solved a couple of problems for him. And I think that's what they needed to do, is they needed to solve a couple of problems, and they did that by getting him. That then opened the door for Philadelphia to be a team that will draft defense in the first round.
What's been the discussion as you look ahead to 16, and maybe you've heard something a little bit differently than I have. There was talk that the Jets were thinking of maybe moving as one of the teams that might want to move up for that Vikings spot.
Well, I think what the Jets need is a good backup quarterback that can play special teams and also run the Wildcat.
That would be great.
Who might that be? Can you imagine the Jets traded Tebow tonight? Could you see that?
You talk about it.
That would be funny.
That place, that Radio City Music Hall would erupt, and there might actually be violence in the stand, in the seats at that point.
Well, we'll find out. That'll be a lot of fun once we get to that point. We're in the process, by the way, of resetting everything here at the Chateau. What happened is some of the parts are made in the old Soviet Union. So what we've done is we've hit them on the side. And we've been working on that. And you know what? We may be getting close, believe it or not, Kevin, to having the problems solved.
You know, the best tool in any engineer's toolkit is a hammer.
Well, We found that out in Armageddon, didn't we? And the movie Armageddon. So what we'll do here is we're going to take a break, reset, have Kevin take a Valium, and return with more on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
I'm very concerned about you. No, I'm very concerned about you right now.
I'm fine.
I'm concerned tonight you're going to order everything on the menu at Cracker Barrel, and in the end, it's just not going to look good.
I do that anyway, so it's really not a big difference than a normal night.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all good in the end.
It is.
Yeah, I know you're feeling better about life. It's what you do, you know. And I'm a little bit concerned about you right now because you've hit the panic mode. But our good friends, as always, at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services LLC, they're on board with us today. They love you. You can call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. And believe me, they will set you up. I mean, they will get it done for you every single time. Yeah. As you know, I'm a big fan. And we are here at the Chateau, where one of these days, Kevin, we're going to invite you out here to the Chateau, and you're going to love life.
I'm loving life right now. I've never loved life more than I have this very moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. You know, it's we get a little bit concerned sometimes.
It's all good.
No. It's... I mean, I know Joe Portelli, when I've talked to him, he'll get concerned at times about you, but that's only in a comedic sense.
That's right. That's only for a laugh. That's
okay.
Good.
Now, you're talking about Hightower Upshaw, right?
Yes.
Hey, you want outside, you want Upshaw. If you want inside, a run stopper, the whole deal at Hightower. I think I agree with you. Won't be on the board once the Eagles pick. Will not be on the board once the Eagles pick. And I think that is going to be, obviously, the issue.
I'm not sure where they look elsewhere if Barron isn't on the board.
Right. Well, for safety?
At safety, yeah.
So, yeah, at safety, I think that would be an issue. I mean, your pick of Chaz Powell to the Redskins with the second overall pick, I thought was a little bit of a reach.
Well, you know, I'm just hoping.
Just me. Now, Devin still, he is between the 20 and 40 range in this draft. 20 and 40. I think the team that picks him will be the New York Giants at 32.
You know, I had that a couple of times, but I wondered if they might go by route of Jonathan Martin at offensive lineman.
What, are you talking about the Giants?
Yeah.
Possibility. I mean, there are certain guys in this draft that are intriguing like that. So you seem much calmer now.
I am much calmer now. I'm good. I'm relaxed. I took the Valium. I'm good to go.
I'm sure you are.
You know, the other guy that may, if he's still available at 32, and I don't think he will be, I think he'll be gone somewhere in the somewhere around the Texans, would be Colby Fleener, the tight end.
You talk about from Stanford.
Right.
It could be one of four Stanford players taken in the first round. But I think the Texans don't go tight end. I think the Texans go defensive end. They lost Mario Williams to the Buffalo Bills. Combo, line, outside linebacker, defensive end. I think the Texans may go defensive end there.
Well, are they looking to maybe solidify their offense first and maybe come up with a guy like, come up with a second round pick that they think they can go defense, maybe hold off a little bit?
Could be. I mean, that could be certainly a way for them to go. Now, I realize I'm talking about, you know, football players, what they can and can't do, and you know, and you're more intrigued by who's on the cover of Madden.
Right, exactly.
Now, who's on the cover of Madden again?
Johnson.
From?
Detroit.
Oh, Calvin Johnson.
Calvin, yeah.
Okay, that's great. I just saw Matt Millen last week. He's the guy that drafted Calvin Johnson. Still can't believe he did that. But there are a couple guys that you look in this thing. Let me give you a couple guys that I think are might not be top eight, but I think the team that gets this guy, this kind of guy, really will feel great about their pick. One of them is going to be Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame. He will not blow you away with his 40 time, but he runs great routes, great hands, and his concentration is outstanding. Michael Floyd will be a really good pick for some team.
He's the kind of guy, though, that has a real nose for the end zone, too.
Right. Knows how to get to the end zone. Really like him a lot. Dre Kirkpatrick from Alabama. I'm a big Dre Kirkpatrick guy. Yeah, if you've listened to Jack and me on the broadcast the last couple of years, when Penn State played Alabama, we have raved about him because he stays with you stride for stride, has excellent instincts, closes on the ball well, knows how to use the boundary, and understands at corner the concept of leverage. Great pick. Another guy I think that will be a great pick is the guard from Stanford, David DeCastro. I think he'll be really a good player for some team. Like him a lot. Guys that I'm not sure about. Let me tell you I'm not sure about. Okay, Luke Kuechly, the linebacker from Boston College. Not sure about him. Not sure about Quentin Couples from North Carolina. Not big on him. Riley Reiff from Iowa. I thought he would be a second or third pick. There is no way I envision him as being a top 20 pick in this draft. I thought he'd be a second or third round pick. Do I think Riley Reiff will be a good NFL offensive tackle? Yes. Do I think he'll be a great NFL offensive tackle pushing for the Pro Bowl? No. He never impressed me or blew me away when I watched him in Iowa. It just didn't. And I'm talking about, I watch tape, too. It's not like I don't sit there on a Monday. I watch tape every week. So I watch this guy in person and on tape, and I thought he was good, but never gave me the impression of great. Jarrell Worthy doesn't light me up. I think the Patriots may pick Jarrell Worthy. But I think Jarrell Worthy is another guy I thought was a second or third round pick. Devin Still, to me, is a better player than Jarrell Worthy. Now, is that a put down of Jarrell Worthy? No. That is not a put down of Jarrell Worthy at all. Because now you're saying, I just think that Still's a better pick in the first round than Worthy is. I think a guy that is a borderline first round, second round pick is a pretty good player is Doug Martin out of Boise State. Like him. I think Whitney Merciless, to his credit, played himself into this spot and did very well. Guy, I'm not completely bought in. Remember I talk about Michael Floyd? I mean, I'm big on Michael Floyd. Right. I'm not big on Harrison Smith, the safety from Notre Dame. I'm just not. Never really bought into, you know. I think he's a guy that I thought would be maybe like the 40th, the 50th guy picked. I don't see him being a first-round pick? No.
Well, a lot of experts, including you and I, have talked about it here, too. Of the top 10, three of them are going to be quarterbacks with Luck, Griffin, and Tannehill. But let me ask you this. Do the Patriots start looking at a quarterback with their two picks here? And is Brandon Whedon a pick at 31, or do you hold off and wait for second or third round, depending on where the Patriots pick again?
Patriots give you that distinct feeling, as they always do, that they'll take those two picks, couple them, and trade down.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I just see it. I think the Patriots, I think, may try to, the team that wants Whedon's the Cleveland Browns. The Browns may step out at 22 and take him. I really, in my mock draft, I had Richardson at 4, Stephen Hill at 22, and Whedon at 37. But if somebody's out there that really wants Brandon Whedon, the Browns may just step up at 22 and take him. And then roll it on a wide receiver at 37.
Well, the Patriots themselves have 27, 31, and then in round two, they have pick 16, which is actually the 48th pick overall. So if they do, as you said, that they would have to wait only about 17 picks from the first round to the second round. And then there's another pick that they have just a few picks, a little over 10 picks later at 62. So there's some room there for the Patriots to move around.
Let me give you a quarterback that in round seven, I could see somebody taking a flyer on. And maybe a team like the Green Bay Packers. And this is round seven. This is Saturday. Kellen Moore of Boise State.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he got drafted.
Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. They're our sponsor every Thursday. Great to have them on board. Sarah Bartlett next with the news on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Chateau, great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. You need Rick Weibel and company more than ever. Kevin, getting ready to go to Cracker Barrel and watch the draft tonight. And now we're going to get to your team. Picking at 24, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Herr's Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the way you have to say it. It just doesn't sound right otherwise. All right. Here's what
whatever you prefer. It's up to you.
All right. Here's what I have. We talked about the two linebackers that we thought would be picked pretty early, and that's Upshaw being one going to the Eagles. That leaves Hightower going to the Steelers. And I think Dont'a Hightower fits into the Steelers' offense in the inside a little bit better than he would fit in the Eagles linebacking core. Because I think the Eagles linebacking core have more holes to fill. I don't think the Steelers have as many holes to fill. If he's still available at 24, that is not going to be a bad pick for them.
Well, Hightower would be a great pick. I'll be honest with you. I think Devin Still would be a great pick for the Steelers. I think they need that Casey Hampton type in the middle.
Well, they do like those guys in the middle, those big guys like that, yeah.
Let's see.
You know, the other one...
Can I pop in one other thing here? At stevejonesshow.com, our question today, how much of the NFL draft will you watch? First round, first and second round, all rounds. Actually, you had to phrase that second and third, because that's tomorrow night probably. They're coupled together.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
All rounds, just my team. Well, that's because you've been a little bit in a panic mode for a period of time. I was a little worried about you.
I'm good now.
Yeah, I actually had an interview today with Mark Pavlik, the men's volleyball coach here. They're having the EIVA championships here tonight, the semifinals. It's Penn State, Princeton, and Harvard against George Mason. Then the two winners collide 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, or Saturday night, for the right to go to the Final Four. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to have a reporter on from Pittsburgh and a reporter on from Philadelphia analyzing the draft.
That'll be great right there. I'm excited about just that part of it.
I want to make sure that, Because I know you've been a little bit panicked today. I figured one of us had to arrange some guests, so I took care of that.
And we'll also have Joe Susan to recap the spring game with Bucknell. So it'll be a fun
day. Looking forward to hearing from Joe. That'll be great. We'll fit Joe in perfectly tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a very active show. Today was going to be an active show, too, because I already had an interview done with Stephen Hill, who threw his no-hitter, and it was going to be a lot of fun to hear from him. I'll give you a little piece of from Stephen Hill. He throws a no-hitter at Iowa, right? He comes back to Penn State. And they lost his bag at the airport. He gets back to the ballpark. His car's been towed.
This is a bad day already.
He threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he has such a great start, and then all of a sudden it turns into, like, a really bad day.
Now, how much of the draft do you watch? How much will you watch?
I can't say all of the first round. I'll probably be clicking in and out. So technically, I guess you could say all the first round, but not, like, wire to wire.
Why, Survivor on tonight?
Let's see, Thursday night. There is something on Thursday. Oh, I know what it is. The Office is on tonight.
Oh, well, of course.
The Office is on tonight. That's what it is. No, Survivor was last night. I caught that last night. I'm good to go.
All right.
No, I mean, I'll flip in and out. I don't think I'll stay for the entire analysis of pick number 22 or 23. I will stay for the analysis of pick 24, obviously, especially if it's not the player I want, because somebody's going to have to convince me that this is a good idea. And the only other guy that I'm going to accept is Glenn from Georgia, the tackle, who could also play guard.
If they drafted Devin still, you wouldn't accept that?
No, you're right. I would accept that. All right. I forgot you had mentioned still. Yeah. I would accept that. I'd be all right with that.
Now, I don't know if the Steelers are going in that direction, but still would be a better pick. And I think still is a better pick when you're splitting hairs than Jarrell Worthy of Michigan State. Worthy's battled some weight issues in his career, and I would be concerned about that. But that's what I look at. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Eagles fans, who would you pick tonight? What position do you want? Steeler fans, what would you like? Kevin was a bit concerned that they listed the Steelers' position need, one of them being wide receiver. This is a team with Dominic Brown and Mike Wallace.
Yeah, I don't think a wide receiver is a need right now. I mean, that might be a luxury, but I think there's some depth at wide receiver.
The only reason I can see that is if someone is convinced Mike Wallace is not going to be a Steeler in 2013. That's the only way I can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know that Pittsburgh would let that happen. They know what kind of player they have, and I think that Ben Roethlisberger it's been a favorite target of Ben, and now with Hines Ward's retirement, all of a sudden he has a chance to really stand out above the rest. I think the Steelers will end up getting what he wants. I think that's why they put the tag on him this year. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I really don't. Unless he wants to. You know what I'm saying? If the Steelers offer him everything in the world and he still says no because he wants to go somewhere else for one reason or another, I think that's the only reason he's not wearing the uniform.
I want to deviate for a moment, just update everybody at the baseball scoreboard this afternoon. Get everybody up to date there. These are all finals. All the afternoon games are now final. We'll start in the National League, where the Giants beat the Reds today at Great America 6-5. The Mets beat Miami at Citi Field 3-2. And tonight, Washington will play at San Diego at 10:05. In the American League, Kansas City beat Cleveland 4-2. Seattle down Detroit at Comerica 5-4. Tampa Bay in the Mausoleum beat the Angels 4-3. Tonight, the Orioles at Camden Yards will take on Toronto, while the Red Sox will play at U.S. Cellular Field against the Chicago White Sox. We were doing about ballpark memories yesterday. I've been to the South Side to that ballpark. Inspires no memories whatsoever.
None, huh? None at all.
I saw the White Sox play the Yankees. Yeah, it was just something. I was in Chicago with something to do, taking a ball game. It was fun, but the ballpark was just so sterile and antiseptic. It's not like Citizens Bank Park where you go in there and go, hey, you know, I mean, Citizens Bank has great personality like PNC does. That ballpark doesn't. That ballpark, the one thing you say about it is it's not Wrigley Field. Not great.
Got a couple of text questions for you, Steve.
Yeah, I'd love to hear them. Let's go to it.
Regarding your talk about Devin Still, what about his turf toe issues? Is that something that's going to affect his draft status?
No, that won't affect his draft status. I think the thing that you would be concerned about injury-wise, turf toe is just a sprained toe, which is a period of time. You get over it, you're done. He's done with that. The one thing that you would worry about Devin Still injury-wise would be his back. He had everything that he has done, okay, last season were the tackles for losses, the plays behind the line of scrimmage, because this guy is a 6'5" guy that plays low. Okay, that plays low. Is they did all his damage in 10 games. Then his back got really sore, and he had two unproductive games back-to-back against Ohio State and Wisconsin because of a sore back. He gutted it out. He played each game, but he wasn't the same Devin Still as the opening 10 games of the season. Just wasn't. And that's because of his back. So that would be the issue that he would have to satisfy them, because we know the knee is sound. Toe is not an issue, but that back at the end of the year would be the thing that hurt his production.
Now, the other question is regarding the Ohio State's Mike Adams, who early on was a pick, was being looked at very closely from the Steelers, but has dropped off of the first round on a lot of boards.
Mike Adams is interesting because he was one of the five guys that was suspended last season for a period of time. And him dropping down, it's been a little bit surprising to me that he has dropped down during the course of this, because I thought that he would be the kind of guy that I think a lot of people would like to have. Now, dropping down, I mean, he's not dropping down out of the second round. I think that when you look at Mike Adams, you're talking about a guy that is very gifted athletically, right? Very gifted. You're talking about a 6'7 guy. He's 325 pounds, right? Great. I mean, when he re-entered the lineup, the running game along with, you know, Boom Heron changed. But nobody has settled in yet on the kind of player he can be at the next level. Remember, he failed a drug test at the NFL Combine, according to the NFL Network. And that, again, raises the character issue on him. Okay? He was suspended for two games, cited for possession of drug paraphernalia. Charges dropped in 2009. Suspended for five games last season as part of the tattoo scandal. And then this, the failed drug test. Now, when it comes to pure strength, the guy repped out 19 times at 225 pounds. Now, they think that, you know, you look at David Moult, the center from Michigan, a Kevin Huresque, 41 reps at 225 pounds. Now, 19 reps at 225 pounds for an offensive lineman is not very good. Johnny Troutman did 32. So you're talking about with him great physical athletic ability. But when you've already been suspended for two games and cited for possession of drug paraphernalia, when you've already been suspended five games as part of the tattoo parlor scandal, when you don't bench press in the upper 20s at minimum at 225 pounds, they get concerned about that. And then you fail a drug test. I hope that answers your question.
I think a host of issues, actually, I think would be the best way to summarize it. But what about these guys? What about players that are in between, right before the draft, and they get into an issue? Sometimes it's a legal issue. Sometimes it's alcohol related. I'm not talking about anything major, and this is a player that doesn't necessarily have a long history of issues like that, but these guys seem to slide a little bit in drafts as well. Is that warranted, or is that just, hey, these guys are, you know, just out of college and they're still haven't completely grown up yet? Give them a break.
You're talking about a first-round pick now.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the single most important pick that a team is going to make. Now, there are other the other picks are important too, but this is your tone setter here. This is the one where you're looking at what the greatest need in your football team is and where you think you can fill it. So you have to split hairs, and it's a pick that, because you're splitting hairs, you don't feel you can make a mistake. You just don't feel you can make a mistake, Kev. So then you start splitting hairs between guys and saying who might be the more dependable, reliable guy. Remember, going into the draft years ago when Peyton Manning was picked by the Indianapolis Colts, Ryan Leaf was all the rage. And the Colts then settled in and they just said, look, Manning is the more reliable guy, fewest issues and so forth. And in the end, they got lucky. They made the right pick. But remember, Ryan Leaf was all the rage going into that draft. Look at Leaf's arm, his mobility, Washington State. He's carried them on his back, got them to the Rose Bowl. They played Michigan. Unbelievable. You know, yeah, Manning can't win the big game. Right? Right?
Yeah.
So that's why you have to split hairs sometimes. Guy like Adams drops because he's become an enigma for teams.
Well, Adams had more issue than just one or two. So, you know, I can understand him dropping a little bit, but I agree with you. I mean, and you look at a guy like Ryan Leaf, that's another good example of, you know, where you could have gone out on a limb and gone for the guy that has all the numbers and then become nothing out of it. And you've gotten nothing and wasted a pick. And that happens too many times. And you find yourself drafting in the top five quite often every year.
We'll come back to wrap it up in a few moments on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
Have you been to Columbia Mall lately? They have four major anchors and over 25 stores, like Maurice's with the latest in fashion clothing and a bunch of cool accessories, all dressed up for spring. Visit Maurice's in April and you can win some great prizes, no purchase necessary. They have lots of free events for kids and adults alike. So if you're one of those people who don't think Columbia Mall has anything, come on, take another look. Learn what's going on in your hometown mall at ColumbiaMall.com.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us on draft day. The NFL draft is tonight. We've talked about the Steeler and Eagle needs going into this, and also where maybe some Penn State players could end up going. I could see a second-day pick in Nathan Stupar. I could see Stupar going in a third round. Reason being is that he can play the pass, and this is a pass-happy league now. And because it is a pass-happy league, you need guys that understand at linebacker the proper depth that you need to drop the sense and the instinct of it with good hands and also just enough to play the run well. Well, we saw in him when Michael Mauti got hurt, him dramatically improve as a run stopper. And I could see him being a guy that in the third round tomorrow does end up getting picked. Maybe fourth round on Saturday. But I think what the NFL has done, the NFL gets who they are. When ESPN went to them years ago and said, we'd like to cover the NFL, and thought, what do you want to do this for? And for ESPN, there was a couple of reasons. Number one, they were a 24-hour cable outlet. They're trying to get programming, something live, and at the same time, ESPN was hoping to use the draft as an inroad to eventually get themselves into the NFL game mix. That was part of their plan. Brilliantly hatched, coverage extremely well done, and they did it. They accomplished two things. Great coverage of the draft, actually three things. Great coverage of the draft, making the draft even more popular, and then eventually getting themselves into the NFL mix, starting with Sunday Night Football, then Monday Night. Time goes. NFL drafts continue. So many times there have been NFL drafts that took place during blue-white games. And there would be days where I'd be doing blue-white games, and because of the length of the opening round, which occasionally was able to tip the 7.5-hour mark, I'd go home at the end of the blue-white game, and guess what? They're still drafting.
WKOK debuted the format as similar to what it is today on one of those draft days, and I never thought the draft would end. It started at noon and went forever.
It went forever. Now they've cut down the time in the first round. Roger Goodell, with a great sense, let's give him a lot of credit. He was booed by the fans last year when he was introduced because last year when they finally put it on a Thursday night for the first time, we had labor strife. And that's why the commissioner received a mixed and uncomfortable reaction last year. Tonight, when he walks out to start the draft, he will be universally cheered. The NFL has labor peace. People are feeling better about the NFL than ever before. 17 of the top 20 shows in the country. In the Nielsen's in November, were NFL games. 17 top 20 for the year. NCIS is a great show, but NFL games still top it out. They get it. They move that first round to Thursday. It's all first round tonight. Second and third rounds tomorrow night, great. Then the other rounds, 4 through 7, coming up on Saturday. They understand who they are. The NBA is still trying to figure out who they are.
What are the two things you're going to be looking at most in the NFL draft tonight?
Who moves up to rock the apple cart on Ryan Tannehill to Miami? And it could be Miami moving up. And then in the later rounds, who couples picks to then move down so they can get more picks? Cincinnati's capable of doing that. New England, again, is another team that gets in. They have two picks in the first round. Does Bill Belichick want to use both picks, or does he start playing some games with it so he can get more picks in the mix?
I think he
and the third. Games. Okay, and I agree with you, Kevin. I think you're right. And the third thing I'm looking at is what do the Browns do at 4:22:37? The Browns have a fan base that is aching to win. The Browns are not an expansion team anymore. They haven't been an expansion team for a long time now. They have just been a down-and-out franchise for years in terms of their ability to get it done. They are not an expansion team anymore. Tonight, they have an opportunity at picks 4, 22, and 37 to get themselves an offense, which they didn't have last year. Those are the things I'm looking for in the draft. Kevin, great show as always. We'll have two guests on tomorrow, one from Pittsburgh, one from Philadelphia, analyzing the draft. After the news, top of the hour, Sarah Bartlett, here on WKOK. Thanks to Rick Weibel for being our day sponsor today.